This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
That is the spiritual, or the spirit, of Ryan Sprague. He decided to become a Ghostbuster, and he got so wrapped up into his job that he fell inside one of those machines, the containment module.
Oh, man, that is a party I would love to be invited to. Ghosts are not my thing, Gene. They terrify me. I had some incidents with Paul Kimball and Greg Bishop that I'll never forget, so...
Go into that. I did read start reading about that in your book, and which I only have managed to skim into since Gene passed me a copy. But yeah, go into that a bit, because that really piqued my interest. This experience with Paul Kimball up in Canada, Nova Scotia, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. You know, I recently got back there a couple weeks ago with them for Paul's Esotericon, which was a very awesome event, and you know, we had a really good time, let loose. But the year before that, Gogs, we went there, and we were in Liverpool, Nova Scotia, where we went on a ghost hunt at the Queens County Museum. And you know, I know Greg's talked about what he experienced that night in the museum, but I had a completely separate event happen where I was in a room with a bunch of other attendees, and we had the ghost box that I know Greg's described. You know, this thing, it transmits...
Yeah, the spirit box, the SP7 and all that, yeah.
Exactly. Transmitting different radio frequencies. You know, you might catch a word here or there, and it's supposedly supposed to be how a spirit can communicate with you. Not directly, but just phrases, you know, how you interpret it. So, you know, I'm in a room with a bunch of people, and this thing starts telling us word for word that it is a little girl, it's scared, and it wants to leave. And we're all sitting down, getting to the level of this supposed little girl's spirit, and I am sitting cross-legged, and I immediately feel a weight push my legs down, put its arms around me and hug me, and then get up and run out of the room. Now, at that immediate moment, Greg was in the doorway, and he felt a cold wind brush right past him. So this was extremely interesting to me. I had had my own personal account. Greg was there to corroborate it. And we each had different experiences within the same incident. So that changed my entire perspective. I was never a big ghost person, very skeptical about all of it. But that night definitely changed my mind. Do I believe it was a ghost? I can't tell you. Do I believe there was an energy there that directly tried to convey something to me? Yes, what that message is, I cannot tell you. But it left me shaken, and I did not sleep that night. I can tell you that much.
When you listen to the song, who are you going to call? It's going to be Paul Andrew Kimball.
Yes, the new and improved Paul Kimball, the ghost hunter, who is just killing it out there in Nova Scotia.
Was any of this recorded, audio or visual?
So my event, Gogs, was not, but there was a separate event that I'll have to try to dig this up. I think Greg has audio. I might have video where they spoke on the REM pod, this other device, to Mac Tony's. And I know Greg has talked about this, and I was there for one of the communications. Now, again, this is something I'll have to try to dig up for you guys, but I'll tell you right now, that thing was going off like crazy when Paul was asking it very personal questions about his friendship with Mac. They always had this pact that when one of them died, that they would come back to haunt the other, which I think is a very interesting friendship to have. And as far as I can tell, that night and several other occasions, Mac has made himself known to Paul, and I was there to witness that in some small way.
I can just imagine, you know, of all people, somebody like Mac Tony's, you know, doing exactly that. The mind boggles to think, you know, one of us guys into the paranormal kind of dying prematurely and then, you know, getting to find out the answer or possibly some answers to the mysteries of what happens next, if anything, and to actually be on the other side of the mirror, so to speak, and somehow find a way through a spirit box or a REM pod or something to talk to former kind of colleagues, friends, co-investigators. That alone would just be mind-boggling. And who knows, it could be happening. Obviously, something was happening, because I can imagine, for instance, people like Paul being, you know, skeptical enough that he's not going to fall for anything. You know, he's just because a REM pod flashes and it coincides with two for yes, one for no, maybe one or two questions. But you would tailor your questions to a point where, you know, it would be have to be such specific knowledge and such a given specific answer that it would really reduce the risk of it being completely a fluke, accidental, you know. And, I'd love to see some footage of that. That would be amazing, that.
Yes, I'll have to dig into my history on my social networks for that, but I'll definitely get that to you guys. But I'll tell you this, too. In the paranormal world, there's the spiritual and there's the science. And that seems to be, you know, the two fists going at each other constantly. And where you have someone like Paul, who's more on the tech side and relies on, you know, these equipment and machines, I had a physical personal experience. And that's all I needed to tell me something had happened. Now, when all else fails, maybe science will be there to sort of communicate that through these REM pods or these ghost spirit boxes. But I will tell you right now, I think feeling and experiencing something is going to be much more powerful than any sort of scientific evidence about the paranormal. And these small personal disclosures, whether it's through a UFO sighting or through a paranormal experience, is going to be much more in the grand scheme of things than any hard data can possibly do. And that's totally okay with me. You know, as much as I strive for legitimacy within the UFO field and beyond in terms of evidence and data, I think each person having their own personal experience is what matters most. And that's extremely exciting to me as someone who studies human beings for a living, as a playwright, trying to create characters. That's what I love. And I love to see how they change after these pivotal moments in their life. So I think
it may also be there is never any objective experience there. It's so subjective. It's so much internal that there's no way to really investigate scientifically, because scientific methods require repeating something exactly every time. And if it changes each time, you don't have that consistent evidence, which is unfortunate in a way, because scientists will insist on that. Let me throw this in, by the way, since we had the Ghostbuster reference before. We all know that the author of the Ghostbuster song was Ray Parker Jr. Now, did you know that there was a lawsuit involving Huey Lewis of Huey Lewis and the News, Ray Parker and Columbia Pictures, because supposedly the melody to the Ghostbusters theme song infringed on the copyright for a song called I Want a New Drug?
Mm. And now that you mention that, I'm playing both songs in my head. I can sort of see that, but we hear this all the time. You know, we had this with Vanilla Ice and David Bowie. It's so hard when it comes to music. You know, how much can you remain unique in what hasn't been done before? Even with storytelling, Gene, you know, every story has been told. It's just how you kind of switch it up a little bit each time and work off of it. But that's unfortunate.
Yeah, there was a legal settlement between the parties. It reminds me, for example, of George Harrison's My Sweet Lord, which infringed on the copyright for He's So Fine. And there was a settlement. That's one thing, too. Whenever they've had that, and I think maybe John Lennon might have had one of those at one time, they just settle. They don't argue about it.
Right. Yeah, which is a big thing in the legal field we don't see often. It's just this settlements. And yeah, that's it's good to know that they could work it out. The Ghostbusters theme was actually the number one song the day of my birthday. So there's a little fun trivia for you.
This is how the music really just gets involved in everything we do. We think of the musical reference, which does have an important cultural aspect to it.
Absolutely.
Okay. Just like how songs come to people in dreams. Like, for example, Paul McCartney and the song he wrote about Mother Mary.
Mm-hmm.
That was his mother. He dreamed about his mother.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Or they come at like the most, you know.
That was, of course, Let It Be. Anyway. Some of his interesting songs came to him in a dream. We've got more to come. Maybe about dreams, maybe not. Ryan Sprague Gene Steinberg, Gogs Mackay, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, we've made such a deal with HelloFresh, and it means that everyone listening to this show can receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code PARACAST30. You know, with HelloFresh, you can choose the delivery day that works best for you. They've got a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly. And can you imagine me cooking Japanese panko chicken? It makes me feel like I'm a chef. It means also that you could actually get your meal cooked in 30 minutes. For busy people, this is perfect. The simple recipes include step-by-step instructions so even I can figure it out. Go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code PARACAST30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. HelloFresh.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Get the ultimate knife at an ultimate price. The Fox Karambit Knife. Finally available in the U.S. The Fox Karambit Knife opens with one hand, faster than you can pull a handgun. For utility, for defense, and for way less than other knives of this caliber. Go to TheUltimateKnife.com. Truly the best knife you will ever own. And only available at TheUltimateKnife.com. Use promo code radio at checkout for free shipping. Get the ultimate knife at the ultimate price at TheUltimateKnife.com.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Healthcare reform is confusing. With the loss of the Obamacare mandate, those needing help can now choose an affordable alternative. By joining Liberty HealthShare, you're part of a community of health-conscious Americans all over the country who control their own healthcare costs and choices. Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. It is an association of self-pay patients who unite with like-minded people to share the cost of their medical needs. Neighbor helping neighbor. Learn more now by going to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Ryan Sprague, Gogs Mackay, and Gene Steinberg. And we've been doing the cultural references, but you see where it's at. I mentioned Day the Earth Stood Still. Now I'll give another challenge that was answered in a very strange way a long time ago, and that is, before Kenneth Arnold had his sighting of the nine kind of ellipsoid objects, was there ever another sighting before then? with the same kind of objects?
I mean, in terms of my own research, Gene, yeah, definitely. I mean, we've had dome-shaped, saucer-shaped sightings.
I mean precisely those.
Precisely those. That's a great question. That I could not personally speak to. Gox, have you come across anything saucer, quote-unquote?
No, were they not chevron-shaped things, the actual Kenneth Arnold ones? They weren't. There was that whole thing about the newspapers picking it up wrong.
The mystery,
he said they skipped like saucers, but they actually looked like kind of almost like a bat wing type thing. So it was like, you know, symmetrical left and right, bilateral symmetry, I think, but not, you know, if you looked at top down, it would almost look like the Batman symbol pointing backwards, if that makes sense. I think that's what it looked like, but I don't think I've seen anything specifically like those. They were seen at quite a distance, weren't they? So it may be difficult to, maybe there was some kind of optical illusion happening anyway because of the perspective. It may have been difficult to ascertain their exact shape.
Well, but other than the fact that they may have been projections from Commissioner Gordon, the fact is here is that there were sightings of similar objects, but they were always traced to happening after Arnold's sighting had been reported. So after that sighting, others saw something similar, but evidently not before. And I was asked about this because sometime, a few years back, I briefly did a little research for that movie that still hasn't come out. 701. Okay.
Yes, James Fox.
James Fox and Tracy Torme was involved with it. And I did this research and I got a nice little piece of money that I needed. And I was asked that question, can you find a sighting that was reported before Arnold's with the same kind of object? And the answer was I couldn't. And I talked to a few other people about it. I think Kevin Randall looked into it at one time, and he mentioned a sighting similar, but when he did, as they say, he traced the sources. He calls it chasing footnotes. When he chased the footnotes, he found that it was reported after. So that cultural reference was distorted to create the saucer image, but no object like that occurred before Arnold. So what's going on here?
It's fascinating, Gene. I mean, you look at the sociological and cultural aspects of the Kenneth Arnold sighting, and they have literally shaped, you know, no pun intended, they have shaped the phenomenon moving forward in terms of the flying saucers. And a lot of skeptics like to use that idea of the, you know, the misquote that everyone saw saucers after this misquote in the newspaper. So that clearly shows that they are not seeing these because that was not what was reported. I find that intriguing. And again, it comes back to that whole feedback loop of the co-creation. After he had the sighting and this got out to the zeitgeist, to the public, did that help shape the phenomenon after that? Is this what the controllers of these craft maybe how they wanted to be interpreted after that? I don't know. But it's definitely something that I find fascinating, is trying to figure out the motives and the agenda of the phenomenon. And I can't tell you I have any answers, but I'm going to keep looking.
That goes back to co-creation. If we're creating part of the image of what's going on, of the phenomenon, then we all have different cultural things that influence us. But when some of those become so popular, so strong, like Gray's, it takes over a lot of our perceptions. And that's what makes it, to go back to what we were talking about before, that's what makes it so difficult for scientists to investigate, because they want the consistency, repeatability. If this thing is so ephemeral, so subjective, where is the repeatability? I realize as a playwright, it doesn't matter to you. But if we're going to get an understanding of what's going on, how can we properly describe it if there is no single description?
I agree. I also, you know, as a playwright, yes, I don't depend on that repeatability, but I do respect it as well, Gene. I think, you know, some people ask me, you know, well, what did you find? What patterns and connections did you find among the hundreds of people you interviewed? And not many. to be completely honest, a few things I found intriguing were a lot of sightings and experiences were near water, or there was lineage, you know, throughout different generations of families, people had UFO encounters or events. But other than that, I did not find much repeatability. That might be disappointing for the scientific field. You know, that's what they strive on, the scientific method. But for me, yeah, when I'm looking at it from a different angle, as a cultural and a human side of it all, that repeatability isn't as important to me as the core impact and implication to having either a singular event or even repeated events. So that's a sort of vague way and broad way of looking at it all, but I respect both ends of it for sure.
So as a UFO researcher, where do you go with it?
I continue to interview people to find that human side of it. I know I keep coming back to that, but just telling stories, trying to be a way for people to get their voices out there who might be afraid to come forward or are afraid of the ridicule that comes with all this. Getting the stories out there. Without witnesses and experiencers, we don't have anything to study. We have nothing, you know. We know Friedman always says, you know, how many people have seen UFOs? 90% of his audience raises their hand. How many reported it? Maybe 30-40%. Report it. Tell it to someone. Because we're willing to listen. And I think that's what's most important. You know, whether or not we believe them, that's a whole different story. But at least let's get the stories out there, because it's only going to move us forward, normalize the topic, and, you know, just try to find some answers among more people.
Okay, being skeptical here for a second, then Gogs, you can take over after. If the sightings are so different, how do you create a model of a UFO sighting?
I think that's hard, and I think that's where a lot of the scientific investigation groups fail time and time again. You know, looking at some of the bigger ones, MUFON in particular, is how do you create a model to come to any sort of conclusions? And every director of research or investigation, I think, tries their hardest. I honestly believe that when it comes to these investigatory organizations. But look, we've never found an answer. We've never created one model to scientifically investigate these things or come to any conclusions. So I think the phenomenon knows that, and I think it can be malleable and change throughout time so that we cannot sort of catch up to it with our own science or our own scientific method or models. So that's kind of, you know, a strong hypothetical, but one I find interesting and intriguing, to say the least.
Will it ever happen? I'm going to ask you about the book in a moment, but we first have to break. With Ryan Sprague and Gene Steinberg and Gogs MacKay, you're in
the Paracast?
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
ProPure Gravity Water Filters. Most tested, most trusted. The Pro 1 G2.0 filter by ProPure fits most gravity systems and is so easy to set up and use. No priming required. Independent lab tested to NSF standards. Removes up to 200 plus contaminants with Pro 1 G2.0 full spectrum filter technology. ProPure Water Filters. When you don't know what's in your water, start enjoying great tasting water today. Visit an authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com.
We call it the crapper, water closet, outhouse, or bathroom. But where do you go when there's nowhere to go? The answer is the Biffy Bag. The Biffy Bag is a pocket-sized disposable toilet that fits in your glove box, tackle box, toolbox, backpack, or purse. The Biffy Bag has everything you need for a sanitary and comfortable relief experience. It's ready to use in just seconds, and just toss it in the trash when you're done. It's your Biffy in a jiffy. BiffyBag.com. BiffyBag.com.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Part of President Trump's strategy with the allies who attended an economic summit in Canada could perhaps be leave them guessing. Officials say he had planned to sign on to a post-meeting communique, but now tweets that he won't because of what he calls false statements by Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
Illegitimate and unacceptable tariffs to Canadian steelworkers and auto workers and on the Canadian economy must be met with an equivalent response.
The president left the economic summit early and is now preparing for his meeting in Singapore with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un.
I'll be on a mission of peace, and we will carry in, really, in my heart, we're going to be carrying the hearts of millions of people, people from all over the world.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Are drug and alcohol problems hitting you too close to home? Get help right now. Insurance may cover everything. 866-490-3991. 866-490-3991. That's 866-490-3991.
It's been said, any society is only three missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a four-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
That one with the question mark, I think, mirrors one that Greg Bishop did one time.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to call Greg and have him sue you for that.
Copyright infringement.
Right. There's a guy named Michael Cohen or something, a lawyer from New York, who'll take on the case. I know people don't want me to talk about politics, so I won't. When putting together this book of yours, which is called Somewhere in the Skies, what about it? What chapter surprised you the most before you put it together?
I would have to say that what surprised me most, Gene, was definitely I spent a weekend in the woods with Mike Clellan, the owl guy, as I'm sure you know him. You guys know him well, connecting UFOs to owls, that there's some sort of connection there, either, you know, before or after a UFO event, is having owls somehow involved. Now, Mike claims to be an abductee himself, and he invited me on a weekend in the woods with him and several other experiencers. And I immediately took him up on this offer because I still remain a bit more open-minded, but still remain pretty skeptical on the entire abduction phenomenon. So I wanted to deeply embed myself, you know, like a journalist in a war zone. I wanted to be right in the middle of it, see if anything happens, hear the stories. And so I joined Mike on this excursion. You know, we were in the Adirondacks. There were several other abductees, quote-unquote, there. And I heard their stories throughout the weekend. So much information came at me those couple days that when I was going to bed the last night I was there, I had a experience that I cannot explain, was one of the most frightening experiences I've ever had, and made me really, truly question how real and possible an abduction experience can be. And that really, really changed my thoughts on all of it. Not only if it's real or not, but the influence that others can have on your perception of what's happening. You know, I remember waking up in the middle of the night and hearing a tapping on the window of our third story place that we were staying at. You know, and there were no trees outside. It wasn't a branch. There was no snow falling. It was winter, but there was no snow falling. So what was it? I was too afraid to look out my window. And then I see movement under my closed door. Everyone was asleep at this time. Mike's cat was in his room with him. And it all kind of hit me at once, this immense fear that I'd never experienced before. My girlfriend was in bed next to me. She's the lightest sleeper in the world. She would not wake up. I tried waking her up. Nothing. She would not wake up. I yelled her name. I shook her. Nothing. Again, just this immense fear that my entire reality was about to be shifted, and I was possibly going to have something related to a abduction experience or a close encounter. You know, luckily for me, that did not happen. I was able to look out the window. Nothing was there. But it really made me empathize more with these individuals and realize what they must have been feeling when these things were happening. You know, theirs multiplied, obviously, by a million. But it really opened me up and made me more compassionate to those who have these experiences and how scary, traumatic, and just different and mind-altering it can be.
No, I remember spending a lot of time talking to somebody named Doug, who was an abductee, and he was pretty straight ahead, middle-class executive, and not the kind of person you'd expect to be involved in this, but what happened to him was frighteningly real. Gogs, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say that this fear that you experienced, it sounds very much like the fear people often have associated with sleep paralysis episodes. And I don't know where I've had sleep paralysis myself, which in its own can be very frightening. But I never had the aspect where I feel that there's a presence or some kind of entity or something negative going on. I haven't experienced that, but just the whole the anticipating something like that about to happen is kind of scary enough. So I think I can empathize with that situation you're in. And there seems to be a common theme in abduction and sleep paralysis. This great fear that, in fact, a lot of these paranormal topics, that there's, I don't know what it is, but fear comes up more than any other kind of emotion. And I'm not sure if it's always associated with like in hauntings or something where things are tend to be negative. You know, I think of the blue orbs at Skinwalker Ranch just creating fear on people, turning it up to 10 immediately, and then people in sleep paralysis having just the most incredible fear, but there's some, you know, dark figure looming over them. Mm-hmm. And how it must be to be go through some kind of abduction experience. You know, whether it's scary or not, these experiences seem to be able to just bypass normal cues for fear and just take you straight to 10 on the scale.
Yeah. I mean, fear, Gogs, I feel, in my opinion, is the most human and vulnerable thing we can feel. It puts us in the moment, immediate. Again, coming back to that idea that whatever these phenomena are, paranormal or UFOs, whatever these intelligences are, they want to evoke something out of us, a reaction, an emotion. Maybe they lack emotion. We hear this time and time again with abductees that they didn't care what they were doing to me. They didn't understand the fear I was having. They just did their thing and brought me back, not even thinking about the implication to the event and how it would affect my life after. So you do have to wonder, is it some sort of study on how humans sort of gauge and react to certain stimuli or things? I don't know. I can tell you in terms of my own experience, because I'd never had sleep paralysis before, doesn't mean I didn't have it in that moment. I cannot say that was or was not what I experienced. I can tell you I did get up and I emptied the contents of my backpack just to remember I did this during this event. And if it was all a dream, like this, you know, my bag will be in the corner, zipped up, everything in there when I wake up. And I wanted to do that just to prove to myself and make sure this was not some sort of dream or sleep paralysis. And I woke up and my contents were all over the ground, just like I had remembered doing during the experience. I mean, again, that's not proof of anything, but it was the only thing I could think to do in the moment to negate that idea that I was paralyzed in bed or whatnot. But again, that whole idea of emotion, I do think going straight to fear is something they try to gauge, or euphoric on the other end of the spectrum and peaceful. Again, all about the reaction. That's kind of where I'm at in my research right now.
It's funny, isn't it, that when I've read stories about abductions in where they, you know, it's the whole classic, I'm on like an operating table thing and they're sticking a syringe into my navel and whatever, there always seems to be this telepathic instruction or is given to the people that, you know, we are not going to hurt you, this won't hurt. And then it always suddenly hurts terribly. And then only when the people cry out, does the grey or whatever wave his hand and the pain is taken away straight away. So to me, that almost says that for whatever they are, these alien greys, they don't experience pain themselves because they never seem to anticipate what might be very painful or not. But when it's pointed out to them, they tend to be able to take it away quickly. So it doesn't seem to be that they're sadistically enjoying the pain of others, but they certainly seem to be indifferent to probably what the experience of it is, because they don't seem to anticipate that what they're doing is about to cause great pain in some cases. But I've yet to come across a case where they're like, yeah, we know it hurts, we don't care, and you're going to put up with this for hours yet. You know, it's this horrible torture kind of scenario.
Gogs, we're going to be tortured by our network if we don't break. Gogs, Gene, Ryan, you're in.
The Paracast!
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. So much fun, you'll forget you have a wife and kids. $39.95 and free economy shipping. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at BugAssault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale priced for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you, too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX, or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Before we get on with Ryan Sprague and Gogs Mackay, I want to remind you that we have a second radio show we do for you. And only you, if you subscribe to Paracast Plus, is called After the Paracast. And you never can predict what's going to happen there because it's an open-ended discussion. It is not censored. And like last week, we had Red Pill Junkie and Greg Bishop was there. And they started talking. And it was magic. And the only way to understand is to listen every week because it's something that can be surprising. We offer it as part of Paracast Plus. Go to plus.theparacast.com to learn more, and you'll find out what kind of wackiness we have. We also include a version of this show free of the network ads. So those of you on Facebook who say, ads, I can't stand those ads are driving me nuts. Well, you won't be driving nuts anymore unless you take substances I can't identify, but you won't be going nuts on commercials anymore, which is common, by the way, with network shows, but you won't be hearing them if you subscribe to Paracast Plus, because we give you a version of the show that is free of the network ads. You can't beat that. Starts at $1.49 a week, and we have special deals for 5-year and lifetime subscriptions. In fact, I'm going to put Ryan Sprague on the spot. Would you contribute a print version or two of your book to Paracast Plus for those who take lifetime subscriptions? Would you be willing to do that?
It would be my pleasure, Gene. Absolutely.
And it'll be autographed by him, too.
Yeah, if they want that. It's a little chicken scratch, but it's proof that I actually wrote it, I guess. Yes, I would love to do that.
Okay, plus.theparacast.com. We're going to add to our freebies book from Ryan Sprague, Somewhere in the Skies, a physical printed book, chicken scratched by Ryan Sprague, plus.theparacast.com. Let's continue here with the cultural references and the abductions and everything. You know, I'm thinking here, if there was one abduction, Goggs, and you told the people who are administering the physical test, it hurts, and they say, okay, we'll do something so it doesn't hurt. They don't learn from their mistakes, do they? You'd think after the first time they'd realize, no, we can't inject humans that way. We don't want to be like the doctors of old who told children when you're giving them an inoculation, that's not going to hurt. And of course it did. They would know because they study us and they've abducted thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of us that we don't like to be pinpricked. It hurts. Unless they use the same needles they now use for flu shots. You get a flu shot right now? Does it hurt? No. So we think here the aliens are less advanced than the doctors or nurses or pharmaceutical assistants at drugstores who administer flu shots. They know better than ET how to administer something without pain.
Gene, that's a good point. I've been talking to one of your past guests, Walter Bosley, here in LA. We've become mutual colleagues and friends as of late. And, you know, he brought up a good point that we always view these intelligence as so far advanced that they wouldn't try to hurt us, that they would be so far ahead that they could only come for peace and this and that. And I actually agree with Walter on this, that why? Why, because they're so advanced, would that come with compassion and that come with such a, you know, a moral compass of let's not hurt these people or let's not, you know, change their lives forever in a bad way. You know, people become alcoholics after, you know, people after a abduction experience or encounter, they become severely depressed or they become alcoholics. So, and, you know, I don't believe this is what a advanced intelligence would want to happen to the human, but maybe they do. So this whole argument of if they're so far advanced and intelligent that they are not here to harm us in some way, I have a lot of trouble with believing that. Now, I don't want to go as far as to say they're evil and they're going to take us over. But again, like Goggs and I were saying earlier, you know, maybe they just don't understand and their motivations aren't that cut and dry of we're just here to learn about how you tick and how you can, you know, contribute to the Galactic Federation, as it were. Again, we don't know. So you do have to wonder why they're doing this. And is it for the best reasons? I don't know.
Don't you think with the abductions that it's probably less to do with them actually collecting samples to do tests on or whatever? You know, the actual purpose of it for them is to put somebody through an abduction, if you see what I mean. It's not some end game of science that they're carrying out on human test subjects. The science is abducting people and making them think they're going through some kind of test. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have many who claim that even their abduction experiences, they witnessed military people involved. I mean, that's the whole My Lab thing that we could go down in terms of a rabbit hole, but maybe you're right. Maybe they just want to, what we perceive as the prototypical abduction experience, let's throw that onto an individual and see what happens after that. 70 odd years, 50, 40 years of abduction experiences, have they not gotten what they need scientifically from us yet? If supposedly thousands of individuals have been abducted in all walks of life, like what? How have they not come to some sort of conclusion and scientifically for their purposes on why they're abducting us? I do agree with you there that maybe it's more about the experience and the implication to it rather than maybe at one time they needed hair samples, they needed fluid samples, they needed ova or eggs from women. I don't know, but I do feel that the abduction phenomenon has perhaps evolved into more of a mental and spiritual, possibly even, experience rather than purely scientific purposes.
Well, my feeling here is that we're depicting aliens who are quite primitive and very stupid, because I think of an advanced alien race capable of star travel comes here. They would have the medical knowledge and do the preliminary research that's required. They could abduct us in a way that we'd have no memory of it. We'd have no awareness of it. We couldn't detect an RFID chip in our bodies because it would be undetectable. There'd be no pain involved because, as I said, we'd have no memory. Instead, we have this image of the owl, which is a screen memory, a very primitive idea that they insert a screen memory to hide the memory of the abduction, which is easily recovered with some kind of psychotherapy or hypnotic regression. And I'm thinking here, maybe it's all the reverse. The abduction itself is a screen memory for something that really happened. And we can't get down there and find out.
It's a very interesting theory. I haven't really thought about that.
I've got a question for you, Ryan. Now, seeing as with this book that you are interested on really the human side of all these stories, all these people you interviewed, like we know, for instance, Chris O'Brien, you know, trying to get money together for his San Luis Valley camera project. Now, let's just say, for instance, that you had all the funding and all the time in the world to pursue an aspect or whatever of ufology or maybe some other paranormal field. What would it be? What would you do? What would you research?
Another, you know, other than the UFO phenomenon?
Well, whatever, you know, if you were doing UFOs, what would it be?
I think I would want to look into the realm of cryptozoology, to be completely honest. Something I'm not that familiar with, but find extremely fascinating and actually a lot more down to earth than, you know, again, no pun intended, than the UFO phenomenon or even the paranormal, is this idea that there are creatures out there we've yet to discover or have been there for centuries and are just now, you know, being sighted. That's always fascinated me, too. Now, in terms of stuff like what Chris O'Brien is doing, I love this idea of, you know, using science and using technology to try to do things like that. I did interview many scientists and individuals in my book about just that, you know, sending microsatellites into space, something like UFO data or CubeSat. Now, you know, in terms of how far these projects have come along, you know, funding seems to be a big problem with that. But you look at something like what Trumbull's doing with Mark D'Antonio, where they're trying to put rapid response Humvees on the ground to go detect paranormal or cryptozoological or ufological activity happening in an area.
Let's detect this announcement with Gene Ryan and Goggs. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items. And entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.